It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Speak. Emmanuel Acho and James Jones are out today, but we're going to keep it rolling with the host of NFL on Fox, Dave Hellman, Fox NBA analyst Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NFC North reporter Carmen Vitale, and of course, Eagles all-time leading rusher.
Dr. McCoy.
Yeah.
What
I mean?
What's up, Slick?
What's up? Hey, Dave. Is it because of the glasses?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Okay. I took the earrings out, took the diamonds out. I'm more serious.
Oh, yeah, you are. Okay, you didn't want to distract Slick today.
Didn't have to bring the shades out today. Thank
my
you.
Shades.
Yeah, well, we got started off serious because the Lakers were in a must-win situation last night against the Nuggets. The game that came down to the wire, but Jamal Murray sealed it again with a jumper in the closing seconds. And the Lakers were eliminated in five games. This is the fifth time in LeBron's 6 years with the Lakers that they've been eliminated from the playoffs. Well, the Lakers season is over. Shady, what went wrong for the Lakers?
Before we get to the Lakers, though, I wish all the viewers out there could have seen Joey Taylor jump up on his chair.
Listen, I was an athlete at one point. Okay, we have a whole system. Michelle helps me up. It's a big jump.
No, but you got heels on and did that. That was
Listen, was, you know, I got a little left in me. The Lakers do not. What went wrong for them?
Boom.
I think a couple things. One is they actually just ran into the better team again. Mm. Right? We seen what happened to them the last time they played them in the playoffs. They got swept. And this time was gentleman sweep. So as much as the Lakers, they fought hard, right? And they didn't finish. I think the biggest issue is they didn't finish and they ran into a better team. When I say finish, three out of the games they lost, what is it? Was 4-1? 4-1? Mm-hmm. Three of them games they should have won. Mm-hmm. Game one, they should have won, and I don't care what nobody says. And game two, for sure, they should have won. Mm-hmm. Last night, as I watched that game, I thought they should have won that game. Mm-hmm. I think as much as Ham gets blamed for everything, he's doing a good job of putting his players in position to win. But at the end of the day, the players got to go out there and play. Joy, that's how it works.
It is.
So, Slick, I know you want to bash the Lakers and all that. I'll just say this. They show fight, bro, and they show heart.
Yeah, they do.
And I would love to see them running back again with the same team. Maybe a couple more low additions, right? But they're not far away.
Slick was like, you had me into
You had me into the first half.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was going to say, Shady, you look like you could give a TED Talk. You are. You're looking sharp.
Hey,
and
What is Shady's TED Talk?
Oh, man, I'll kill it. I have Acho on my ear, right? Tell me the little, you know what I'm saying? And then I'll do my own spice to it.
He's going to give you the lines.
So good.
What is your TED Talk for the Lakers?
Yeah. This is where I disagree in that they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Right.
And they essentially ran it back, thinking that they were on the come up rather than they overachieved and this is as good as it's going to get. And so largely because you have a 39-year-old LeBron James who was a year older, and they really didn't resolve their greatest issue, which is that you were relying on that 39-year-old LeBron James to be your closer. And it's no slight to him, but at 39 years old, doing all that he has to do over the course of 3.5 quarters, and now you're asking him to close against the 27-year-old Nikola Jokic or the 20-something Jamal Murray or Anthony Edwards. I mean, go down the line of the guys that they would have to beat for this team to go someplace. That's just not a realistic approach. So it's simply that I think that they were a little taken by what they did last year and thinking we can at least replicate that, and who knows, maybe we could go further. And when it comes to the Nuggets in particular, do I think that they could have won an extra game or two? Yes, I think they could have. I'm not going to go so far as to say they should have, because you are talking about the defending champion.
That's true.
You are talking about the team that beat them this very same way 4 times last year.
Right.
I think that the roster is not good enough to compete with the best team in the league. And as we very well might see again this year, maybe nobody's roster is good enough to compete with the best team in the league. We'll see what happens when we get to the Western Conference Finals and the finals. If somebody can make it interesting, they look dominant when they're not playing well.
Yeah.
And so I can't be too hard on the Lakers because it's just an obvious gap here.
Right.
There's a gap in the roster. To your point, LeBron has played incredible this season. I don't know what much more you could ask from him.
Yep.
But it wasn't the normal things that keep teams from having success if you have a complete roster. They were healthy.
Yep.
Anthony Davis was healthy. That's the number one thing we talk about with AD.
Yep.
He was healthy. He fought through lots of things that normally would take him out. He was out there on the court and pushed through it. LeBron was healthy. Austin Reeves was available. D'Angelo Russell was available. Like, you had health on your side. So in that case, you just weren't good enough. And we knew that going into the series, it was going to take a Herculean effort to get this team beyond the champions.
You had to have reason to believe that you were going to be better than last year.
But during the regular season, they were.
No. But I mean better than the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to be like, you go into this series and go, well, you know what? This is what we have that we didn't have last year. And the one thing that they did have was their three-point shooting was better.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron
yes.
James gave you more of that. Using D'Angelo Russell and what he was able to do once he got past the trade deadline, he wasn't worried about going someplace else. He gave you that. The problem is, on the flip side, defensively, you weren't as good. So overall, you might have been better in one or two areas, but you weren't better overall.
I kind of disagree again, right? The Lakers led in a series points-wise, lead-wise, about 69 to 70% of the time, right?
Yep.
That's pretty good. So I talked about finishing. Mm. Anthony Davis, you talked about being healthy, playing out there, plays solid defense on Jokic for most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go out there and ball for all three quarters, right? Playing defense, scoring the ball, doing this, doing that. And the fourth quarter comes, not that you're not scoring, because I have an issue with that, but you're not even taking shot attempts.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't win. They won't be in the lead. They can't have 70% of the lead, right, if Anthony Davis doesn't play well in them three quarters. But in the fourth quarter, where you at?
Yeah.
I've watched games where he's not even shooting the ball.
Okay,
I've watched two fourth quarters he's had under three shot attempts.
Yeah.
So when you talk about LeBron being 38, 39, wherever he is, right, he's been older,
yeah.
He wasn't the issue.
Yeah.
The issue was our second best player, right, our biggest, highest paid player, top 75 player, plays well but doesn't finish. You can't win nothing without finishing. That's the one thing a coach teaches when you're a kid. It's not how you start.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you finish.
I'll give you that, but I'll lay this out to the two of you. Do you expect something from players that they've never shown you before?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you think that they're, or you believe, or that they're capable of it, but they've never done it, so you're like, well, now I need you to do it. Because that's where I am with Anthony Davis.
What can I answer? Because you kind of asked us a question.
Yes.
Right? Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch teams that played the Bulls back then when they was running things, before they start running it,
yeah.
The weak point was who? Scottie Pippen.
In terms of what?
I mean, heart, right? Crying, saying, I got a migraine, to go out the game, right? Things like that. We've seen it.
But that was while Jordan was out.
No. Jordan was playing at that time. He was playing. It was a playoff series, playoff games. Right? And when you ask Pippen to do this and do that, they said, listen, we're going to let MJ do her thing because we know Pippen's not.
Mm.
When they started running things, when Pippen got on the same level with MJ, all right, look, you Ryan, I'm Ryan. You Batman, I'm Robin. And that's when it changed. So, yeah, there's times where Pippen was kind of shy and kind of soft.
Okay.
And then he turned it up.
Fair. But how far into Pippen's career was that?
Hey,
I mean, look where we are with AD.
Yeah.
Joy. Like, am I wrong here to say, look, AD's never given me that. I'm not going to look. That's why I say they should have addressed this some other way rather than to think AD was going to step into it.
For us, I think it's okay to expect things from players who are top 75 all-time players, who are future Hall of Famers, who are talking about how they want to have more respect in the league and they are champions. Like, I think you can level up your expectations from players from behind this desk. When I think it's your responsibility and your job to expect things from players, I think you have to evaluate in a more reasonable fashion. I do think that they need a stronger roster. Let's just say they weren't going up against the Nuggets. Who's to say they're winning that series? Who's to say they're getting to the postseason?
Yeah.
Like, we know how they got here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the information now. But things could have gone a million different ways. If we're looking at what the Lakers are and how they performed in the series, yes, maybe that would have been enough to go 7 or 6 against another opponent.
Still the same result.
But are you still moving on? Yeah. I don't know that they are. And it's not because their top two players weren't available. It's not because the top two players weren't playing at their height of what they're capable of doing. And maybe we should expect Anthony Davis to finish because he is that type of player and you should have those kind of expectations from him. But then where do you go? You still have the rest of the roster to figure things out. So I just don't know that they actually have enough.
Even that bad, though, right? A lot of these games they were winning late in the games.
No, they led 70% of the time.
So it's like as much as we keep saying the roster part, I'm cool with that, right? D'Lo, I'm okay the way he played in his playoff series, right? Majority of the time he was showing up, but some games he didn't, right? Some games he actually didn't even, like, come to the game, right? He had 0 points.
He gave you more than he gave you last year.
Okay. Yeah. Hakamura, right? He missed some open shots last game, which we've seen, but play solid defense. Like, role players, I couldn't take that from. It's more the stars for me. Yeah. If the role players can cruise and have you in the game and having you up lead-wise, I need my stars to finish the games out. That's what I'm saying.
Where I would agree with you is, if your stars are giving consistent performances,
okay,
then it really just, and your roster is good enough, one role player having a big night and sort of rotating that big night for each of those guys should be enough to keep you in a series.
Yeah.
Maybe not against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking back to like the Heat last year. Yeah, so the star's going to show up. Somebody's going to step up every single night and contribute in a big way. Now, it might be one person's night this night and another person's night the next night. They might not give you 30 every night, but the role players are going to contribute. I don't like to put things on the role players. I'm with you. But I do think when you look at how teams move on through the playoffs and how teams win big games, you do have contributions of significance from role players, from teams that are championship level teams.
But I'll go back to this with AD. Like, how many situations have you seen over the course of his entire career?
You got a point.
Where he closed a game, where he was your closer.
But Slick, I'm not even saying close. Give me some shot attempts, right? For example, like we talk about the Nuggets, how great they were. And I give Ham more credit for this. There's some times where Ham had great defensive game plans for the Nuggets, right? Mm-hmm. I watched Jokic. But, man, he played phenomenal, but there's times where he wasn't scoring, right? And AD was playing good defense. Mark Murray. Let's talk about Jamal Murray. Yo, a lot of time in this series, he was locked up.
Yep.
Now, it's hard to shut down a really good, talented player. It's hard to do for a whole game. So my thing is, yo, they did it. Where they had time, where they were struggling offensively because of the defense the Lakers had. And then the fourth quarter came, Jokic showed up. Jamal Murray showed up. So why can they do it, but the Lakers can't do it? They both got star power.
Well, but let's not say the Lakers. Let's say Anthony Davis.
That's even better.
Right? And I'm with you in terms of, I guess it's just a fait accompli for me. Like, I would love to see Anthony Davis make or miss, be aggressive.
That's it. That's what I'm saying.
Live with it, right? But I've seen it for so many years.
You just know.
I'm just like,
yeah. No, you're right. You're
I'm
right.
Not going to push that button because I know it doesn't work.
Well, LeBron's sixth season is with the Lakers now is over. So he has a player option for next year, and his future with the team has been brought up since the loss. Let's take a listen.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
I understand him not answering, and I understand
really?
The question.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why?
What's he supposed to say? He doesn't need to answer that question. He doesn't. I understand they have to ask it, and I understand him not answering it. Why would he answer it?
I'm not going anywhere.
He's an honest man, though. I like that about him. He ain't lie to you.
He didn't lie.
He didn't. No.
He did not lie.
That's the king. Yeah. The crown only talk about the king.
No, right? I'm fine with that. Shady, do you think that LeBron should run it back with the Lakers?
I think so. Right? And I think so he should do it with his son. If LeBron stays in L.A., they're going to go get his boy. Bring your baby boy up. His firstborn, bring him up. I mean, I just think that, I guess I look at it in a different light than other people, right? I always defer to guys like Skip, because he, or Skip, Slick. Wow. He knows, like, you know, more about the basketball than I do, right? All my little NBA friends, the greats, I ask them about it.
We all do.
Because my thing is, like, LeBron, even though he's at 39 years old, he ain't slowing down. Because there's going to be a time where he's going to have to be 18 points, 15 points. I see guys averaging 15 points a game getting max contracts, right? Mm. So he's still not in that phase of his game. Mm-hmm. He's only going to get better. Only thing they need one more star player, though, right? Because AD is really, really good, bro, and he's talented, but he cannot finish, and you cannot depend on him. a game like that in the fourth quarter where our best against your best, mm-hmm. he gets you his best for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, you're not even shooting the ball. Yeah. Can't win like that. So I would, if they were bringing running back with LeBron James, I would say running back, bring your son on, because that's going to bring you back, right? That's incentive to bring you mm-hmm. back to the mm-hmm. team. And then maybe try to go out there and get one more good star, right? Because you can't depend on Andy Davis in this clutch time.
Yeah, there was that little pause before he answered the question where he was thinking things over. You know what he was thinking?
What's that?
My player option is $51 million.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can pay him anything close to that. He's not going to go play someplace for the veterans minimum.
That's true. He's LeBron.
And why leave L.A. when you know that they're going to draft your son? You know they're going to draft you. You know they're going to allow you to do the last thing on your bucket list, which is to play with your son, which is just an amazing thing. And why not do it in L.A., in that arena? Why would you do that anyplace else? And the authority and the appreciation that Lakers Nation has for him and having brought them, okay, it was in the bubble, it was still, you brought him a championship.
It's a ring.
You've continued to play well, and now you have the opportunity. Yeah, maybe you're not playing for another banner, but you get to watch on a nightly basis the only father-son duo that's ever played in the NBA. That's a draw, right? Yeah. So I just don't, it doesn't make any sense for, he's going to go, look, yeah. He talked about it afterward. He was talking about like family, right?
Yes.
Spending time with your family. Wait, are you going to go, you're going to go to, I don't know, New York, Dallas, like someplace else where you're living in a condo yeah. for a year?
Because his daughter's getting older. He talked about his daughter, talked about his wife. She's doing things.
Son's in AAU.
Got two sons.
Yeah. It makes zero sense for him to go anyplace.
And he's a businessman off the court. And a lot of business he has is in
all
LA.
All of it's in LA.
Yeah, he's based in LA. He's staying.
Yeah, this is going to be lots of fodder for these shows and others.
But
LeBron is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We will fill some airtime with this conversation for the next couple months.
Yeah.
He is not going anywhere. One, because nobody can pay him what the Lakers can pay him. He can opt out of his $51.4 million player option. He'll sign a three-year $161.9 million extension with the Lakers.
Oh, he's going to do that?
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he likes money. He beat it.
I mean, I would do it.
I mean, other
I
than his.
I would do it if I were him, but.
Look, like LeBron James made a lot of money. $170 million is still.
Yeah,
a lot
no.
Of
I'm
money.
Not saying that he yes. wouldn't, he's, that he'd turn that down.
No, he's not going to turn it down. And.
Hell no.
And the other thing that he is trying to do that he's talked about doing, other than playing with his son, yeah. is what? What's the other thing that he wants to do?
Play until 40.
No, once he's done playing.
He got a lot
he wants to buy a team. He wants to be a.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's already set. That's done. He'll own the Vegas team.
Yes.
He'll be. Yeah.
Yeah, but you still have to buy the team. Like, you still got to have that cash in the bank to buy the team.
Yeah,
so
he'll have other people.
He's not going to buy it by himself. We know how these ownership structures work. I'm just saying, why would you turn down $170 million?
Yeah. No.
Obviously, you're going to play with your son. He has many businesses here. He is his daughter here. She's playing sports. His other son is playing. As he mentioned, his wife is doing new things. He is not picking up and going somewhere for half of the year to go
for
a championship. He has those. He's not chasing a championship. So if this was a situation where he still hasn't won a championship, this is his last chance. He's still playing at a super high level. He can go and contribute. And it won't feel like he's truly chasing it because he can really contribute. That is not the case whatsoever. We know that Bronny is likely going to be there with him.
Yeah.
This is the right situation for this. Why are you going to pick up and go? And even if you do pick up and go, the conversation is going to be that you're chasing something else. That you're still you're not you don't really care about all these things you're saying you care about. You care about chasing Jordan, which he is not doing at this point.
This is the only question I have with the extension, and I kind of heard it for the first time this year from him. I don't know that he wants to play three more years. I think he wants to play another year, and I think he wants to play with Bronny. But if he's with a team that's not playing for championships or just struggling to make the playoffs, I'm not convinced that at this stage that that means enough. I mean, what value does that have for LeBron at this stage? That's the only question I have.
I think it's two more years. I could hear you on one more, but I think it's two more years. But
I mean, I'll just say this, right? And I'm nowhere near LeBron James, right? But If you just look at all the greats, it's hard to walk away. Michael Jordan left on top, and he came back to play for the Wizards, right? We wouldn't even think about that. If you just go down the list, right? Kobe, I mean, Kobe, he's another one, though. Like, he didn't want to leave the game, right? I mean, I'm saying, if he did, he left a little earlier, right? He got the Achilles injury, came back for. So I could just name Shaquille O'Neal. I could keep going down the list, all the greats. I didn't want to see him with the Suns. He didn't either, but you love the game so much. It's like it's hard to say how much time he got left because he's still playing a high level, right? I know that fight's still in him. I've been retired for, what, a couple years now, and there's times where, like, when it gets closer to summertime, right? Yeah. I'm used to camp.
You can feel it.
My body just starts feeling a certain way. It makes me want to get up and work out. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. I was in the club last night.
It's not for the summer, bud?
All I'm saying is it's Tom Brady. He's the last one. I mean, God dang. He didn't want to leave at all. He had to leave. Let me get out of here.
He's still talking about coming.
He's still coming. So I was like, when you're that great of a player, they don't just leave you that easy.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, coming up, the Steelers have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in their quarterback room. So are we confident that Russ finishes the season as a Steelers starter? That's next on Speak. And don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM.
I feel like me and Dave going, like, disagree.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Busy offseason in the 412. The Steelers added Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to their quarterback room. Mike Tomlin says Russ is in pole position for the starting job right now, but Fields will be given the opportunity to compete. Here we go. We were so confident, Shady. He spoke so clearly that it was Russ's job. But here we go. So, Dave, are you confident that Russell Wilson finishes the season? Finishes the season.
Finishes the season is the important part.
Of course, assuming everyone is healthy as a starter.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. And the key part of that is, I got pushback on this before the show, too, and I don't understand why that's so surprising to y'all. I mean, Russell Wilson is officially in a different age of his quarterback career. Like, we're done with the mega contracts and the huge cap hits. Like, you know, think back to last year. We saw this play out. Sean Payton tried to bench Russell Wilson over the money. You know, the politics are all about the money. The money's gone. The Broncos are paying that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not. Russell Wilson is on a $1.2 million contract, which actually means the Steelers, I'm not talking about what Denver's paying him, but the Steelers are paying him less than their third stringer, Kyle Allen. So if he struggles, and let's not act like he can't. Like, I think Russ played better than he got credit for last year. But we haven't seen Russ at that Seattle MVP candidate level in quite some time. And if he struggles, this is a football crazy town. This is a town where the Steelers are used to having a winning record. Mike Tomlin, you know the streak. Mm-hmm. You know that the playoffs are the goal. If he struggles and Justin Fields is sitting back there, absolutely they will make a move. I think that's a no-brainer.
Shady.
It's already fired up.
So what are you so mad about? This is basic.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Dave, if you were a GM, right, owner of the Cowboys, because that's who you like, and you had Russ or you had Fields, would Fields start for you?
No. I would start Russ.
So say all that to say he won't start for you. Do you feel like the Steelers are going to compete for that division?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I think they will. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to say yes. I think Russ should be the starter from day one to the end of the season. I like the Steelers. They have brought in some pieces on the offensive line, right? You bring in Russ with his quarterback. You watch defense, how he did last year, played phenomenal football. And now you add in a solid quarterback. If Russ can play the same way he played with the Denver this year, right, just give me that Russ. They can win with that Russ. Why would you go out there and put the backup in the game, right, on his red shirt year, and everything he showed you is that he's a project? See, I don't think that Justin Fields is like a horrible quarterback. I don't really think he's that good. But I think he's his potential to be good, right? Because he strong arm, right? Not really that accurate. Phenomenal runner, great size. All these things you could work with. but he's a project. You need this to happen, this to work. It's too much for him to do well. Where Russ is a solid, proven quarterback. Had it off years, first year, second year, it was solid. I just think that if I want to win, and I'm Mike Tomlin, and I've been struggling all these years and still winning games with the talent I had on offense, and I give me a solid quarterback, I can win with that. Compared to going back to a project, it's like, who likes projects? Maybe when I was like the sixth grade, maybe fourth grade.
If they're so,
I want something for sure, Dave Hellman.
If they're so sold on him, why is Fields even there?
I mean, well you want your Brisky to back you up?
Like,
I mean,
you have a solid backup.
You need backups.
He's still on his rookie contract, too. Like, you have, there's no downside to having Fields on your roster, too. And Shady, I know you know the saying. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yes.
You don't want to start this quarterback competition. And listen, Mike Tomlin is one of the most even-keel, just stable head coaches
in this
league.
Yes,
he is not going to make a rash decision by if Russ, you know, maybe he struggles a little bit in the beginning. He's not going to try and have Justin Fields breathing down Russell Wilson's neck. And then you go back and forth and you go back and forth. Right. Listen, I was part of this in Tampa before you got there, Shady, with Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ooh. It did not go well. The Bucs were 5-11 that year. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Can I say one thing before you? Because that was a great point.
When we took the glasses off.
Because it's like, I don't know if it's me or if this outfit's too tight, because it looked nice, but... Why do we keep acting like Justin Fields is a savior?
Well,
if you play bad, Russ, you know what? Yeah.
Generally, when you have a backup quarterback that has a name, there is a little bit of an allure to the idea of what they might be able to come in and do. But in this situation, what do we expect Justin Fields to come in and do? I think only way that Justin Fields is the starter at any point this season is if Russell Wilson is unexpectedly abysmal, meaning he goes back to what he was in his first year in Denver, which we have no reason to believe, because even though he was very, very, very bad his first year in Denver, he had a first-time head coach who we now know is not a head coach, right? He did not have the same defense that they have in Pittsburgh. They have a Hall of Fame coach in Pittsburgh. They have an established culture. They don't need him to come in here and reestablish everything that is that they're doing. They were 10-7. Last year with Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett.
Mm.
Russell Wilson was 7-8. Remember, they got him up out of there before they finished the season because they were trying to save money.
Because of the money, yeah.
We don't really want to look too closely at the numbers between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields last year. And again, I don't like to pick on Justin Fields. I'm excited that he's in Pittsburgh.
I don't mind. I'm
excited that he's in Pittsburgh. I think it's a great spot for him to sit and develop. Now, next year... Not only do I expect Russ to play well throughout this season, I expect him to be a fresh air for the Pittsburgh Steelers and not have to go through quarterback after quarterback after quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I think it's I'm glad you pulled up the numbers, Joy, because I think it's interesting. Justin Fields, remember, missed time with the thumb injury, right? He missed about a month, right,
yeah.
Carmen?
Yes,
that's
he did.
Your division.
Yes, 4 weeks.
Justin Fields averaged more passing yards per game than Russell Wilson did. Justin Fields also rushed for more yards last year than Russell Wilson has in the last 2 years.
Yes, because that is mostly what Justin Fields can do.
That's kind of my point, guys, is if Russell, and look, I didn't say Justin Fields was going to win this job for September, but if Russell Wilson is struggling, and we know that he can, in the first half of last year, here are some point totals for your Denver Broncos.
Fine.
16. It's all your team.
What? Absolutely not.
Y'all are Broncos fans now. 16 points, 20 points, 8 points, 19 points. They averaged 21 points per game over the first half of the year. It wasn't great.
I am so shocked at you right now, quite frankly. Look, because, listen.
Me too.
Like, clearly there was a wedge between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. What Sean Payton wanted to do with this offense and what Russell Wilson is used to doing. You cannot compare that to the Chicago Bears, who were still trying to figure it out in year two also. Justin Fields had a year head start in that offense and still couldn't execute it at a high level. And I'll tell you this, Russell Wilson in his final 9 starts before he got benched for these monetary reasons, 6-3 record, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That is a good quarterback.
And who'd he beat? Beat the Bills on the road. He beat the Chiefs.
He beat the Chiefs.
And the Bills.
I'm just asking you, and again, I want to say it again. I don't think Justin Fields is going to be the starter at the beginning of the season. But put your goggles on.
What's the beer up there,
Joy? Is it Steel City?
Iron City.
Put your Iron City goggles on and just take a trip with me into the future. Maybe Russell Wilson struggles. They lose a tough game to the Ravens. They lose some division games. They're flirting with 2-3 games below 500. And Mike Tomlin says, hey, this dude is athletic as hell. We got a nice offensive line thanks to what we did in the draft. We can get Justin Fields out here with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, and we'll just patch this thing together, and we can probably make a coherent offense if we need to. Is that absolutely crazy to believe?
I don't think it's crazy, but I think they would have to truly, truly be struggling, and they'd have to be struggling because of Russell Wilson. Not yes. just like they're Absolutely. Losing games. It is very obvious that the position that is causing them to lose these games is Russell Wilson. They can't generate anything on offense. He is playing like he's forgotten how to play football, looking much like he did in his first year in Denver. So I don't think that this is an impossible scenario, but the only way I see this happening is if Russell Wilson himself is the reason why they are losing. Yeah. Because we know it's not going to be the defense. In fact, the defense is the one that won them games last year.
And they got better.
It's not going to be because of the coaching. So I do think there's a scenario where this happens, but it would have to be because Russell Wilson himself is struggling that badly.
What is Justin Fields going to show you?
That's my question.
That would get you to trust him to come in over a struggling, even if Russell Wilson is struggling, he has 9 Pro Bowl appearances. He's a Super Bowl champion. Like, I am going to trust that he can figure it out rather than put an untested developmental guy in there.
It's easy to, he's not developmental.
Yes,
he's not great, but he's started 3 years in the NFL.
Do we want to look up the record?
No, we don't.
What do we want to look up the record?
Right. All I'm saying is, guys, you know how this works, and that is the drawback. When you make a move like this, it's nice to have the insurance, but Justin Fields is a name. And if the Yenzers are restless, he is.
But the quarterback competition does not do anything for anyone.
We're not talking about the competition. What? We're talking about in October when the reality of the season has set in. And if it's not good, there's $1 million keeping you from trying something different.
The money thing to me is a point because it's not like they're not having to commit to him because of the money that they're paying him. But that take the money out of it because they're both awashes, essentially, if it comes to that.
Sure.
So what it's coming down to is talent and potential, right? Again, I don't think what you're saying is crazy. Only if Russ is specifically the reason they're losing. Like, we can look at this game. Okay, what happened in this game? Well, Russ threw 3 interceptions. Okay, what did he do next game? 2 interceptions, a fumble, and they couldn't put any points on the board. Like, that it has to be that Russ is the reason why, and you just need a shakeup.
But if you know Russ, right, like, at his best to his worst, Russ is the type of guy, he's not going to lose you games. I think the best Russell Wilson we've ever seen is when he was managing the games, right? Now, when you manage games a certain way like he did, it comes with hype, right? You're winning games. Each year you're in the Super Bowl, right? You got the best defense. You got Marshawn Lynch running the ball with the Seahawks. So it looked better. You know, they blowing his name up. But he really just managed the game, let's be honest. Made a couple plays with his arm here and there, but he managed the game. You look at Justin Fields, I've seen him lose games. Mm-hmm. I've seen games where he's played well, they're winning the game, right? Deep's playing well. And he just lets the game go and lose it.
His fourth quarter.
So my thing is, like, when you talk about Justin Fields and Russ, it's like, what the Steelers are going to ask Russ to do, that's his DNA.
Yeah.
Oh, you need me to go ahead and go cooking? Oh, you need me to microwave? Oh, bet. I can do that. Because he's done it before. When you're asking Justin, it's like, my man, all this hype from Ohio State, I haven't seen it yet.
It's so crazy
to me for you to say how good this dude is. And every year, every year we have the same question in Chicago was, yo, are they keeping Justin Fields or are they trading him? If you so good, you the answer. Why is every year you're starting to keep asking the same question? Is he here this year or is he gone?
I think the interesting thing is, I think we all agree.
I don't agree. Not you saying.
I'm just taking a bigger picture view than y'all. Because, again, all this stuff sounds so great in April and May when we're like, I'll do my Acho impression. Like, oh, they got George Pickens. Oh, they added.
I'm telling him right now.
Like, it all sounds really good. And I'm just telling you, the Steelers, would we agree? The Steelers are not contenders on the level of the Ravens, the Bengals, the Chiefs. You don't agree?
I think it's the toughest. I think it's the toughest division in football. And I don't know what Browns are. I don't know what Deshaun Watson and the Browns are.
Would you agree if you
can see into the future, let me know. I have no idea. I do know that Mike Tomlin is a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning coach.
Yes, he is.
I know that they make the playoffs. They've never had a losing season under him, and they make the playoffs when they've got Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett.
Haven't made the playoffs in as rotation. A division winner in quite a while.
Look, a lot can happen.
All I'm saying is,
he's saying, should they be in the position to win the division? I think it's wide open, honestly. I really do. And that's no disrespect to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. He's incredible. Or Joe Burrow and the Bengals. But that is the toughest division in football, and there's a lot that can happen throughout the course of a season.
Yes.
The Steelers are always competitive, and I think that if Russ plays, and I hate saying this, but if he plays exactly how he played last year, they win two more games than they did this year, and they had Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and Mitchell Trubisky.
But I think, like I said, I think we agree, but we view it differently, because I'm just saying, if we get to November, and it's just not quite right, and the Steelers are like, we need some juice, we need something, or we're not doing this, I'm just saying, I think it could
happen.
Do you ever,
Fields,
like, brush your teeth and then drink juice?
I try not to.
Yeah.
I do it the other way around. I can't brush teeth before
that
I eat.
That is a competition.
Hey, but I will say this, though.
It is.
If Justin Fields was in that class, Trubisky, who you say all them guys?
Rudolph and Pickett.
He's in that group. He's probably in the front of the class, though. But he's in that group. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Having another guy looking over your shoulder as Russell Wilson, that doesn't accomplish anything. That is the competition that you think that.
I'm actually surprised that that Tomlin said this, because I'm with
Tomlin
Tomlin
himself, like, didn't give Russ the greatest vote of confidence.
He did originally. Well, camp will be interesting. Coming up,
whole position.
The Lakers could add a player next year that LeBron knows very well, his son Bronny.
Bring him home. Bring him
the
home.
Lakers to draft him. That's next on Speak.
Wait, you don't drink juice after brushing teeth?
You ever done that?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
LeBron James' season ended last night, so now we can start talking about next year. And reports are saying that the Lakers are, quote, very open to drafting his son, Bronny James, in June. The move could entice LeBron to opt into his deal and have him come back for a seventh season with the Lakers. Slick, would it make sense for the Lakers to draft Bronny?
No, it would not. There's no need to draft Bronny James. Bronny James? Yes, by all means, James.
Okay.
Have the first father-son duo in NBA history to keep your fans interested when you're not playing for championships anymore.
Ooh, a lot of shade.
But, well, come on.
Yeah, he's throwing big shade.
Let's be real. You're talking about them as championship contenders.
I mean, you're throwing a shade. I mean, like, you're throwing like this, though. Like
shade. Shading the sun,
right,
lights.
Fair. All right. But, no. Because there's no need. LeBron James and the Clutch Agency have the wherewithal and the influence to convince anybody else that would even think of drafting Bronny James, which I don't see why anybody would if they weren't going to get LeBron as part of the package. They have the ability to get that message out there. Look, don't draft him. LeBron's staying in L.A., we're going to sign him as an undrafted free agent.
Right.
And then you can use your second round pick on trying to bolster this roster and make it a little bit better than it is. They don't have control over their own first round pick. New Orleans does. So their ability to improve this roster in ways, they need every possible asset that they have to do that. And using a second round pick on Bronny when it's not necessary to get him there would not be the right move. You can get him there and you can sign him for whatever you want as an undrafted free agent, and then you don't have to go through all the second round hoops.
What is there anything to them wanting him to be drafted, like off of principle?
That would be if Bronny wants that experience, putting the hat on. But let's face it, he's not, by all indications, he's not a first-round pick, right? And the Lakers don't necessarily have a first-round pick to assure that. Does he want, in what is now a two-day affair, does he want to go up onto the stage on day two to shake Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum's hand, because Adam Silver doesn't do the second round? Mark Tatum does. That would probably be a greater moment for Mark Tatum than it would for Bronny James. So I don't know how important that event is for him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the event in so much as saying that you were drafted. What do you think about it? I mean, you've been drafted. Well, what would you want in this situation?
I would want for the Lakers to draft Bronny, right?
You want him to draft him. You don't want him to just sign him. I mean, him to draft him.
Listen, get him, take him. I don't know how that works if you're going unrestricted or free agent, whatever you want to do it, or draft him. Just get him on the team. And these are the reasons why. First of all, I look at who's LeBron James? LeBron James is a big piece to the puzzle for the Lakers, right? And I think LeBron loves money, obviously. He's a billionaire, still playing. But families is another big thing. So that incentivizes you to keep LeBron James.
Yeah.
You keep him there in L.A., right? And he's not slowing down no time soon. He's 39 years old. It looks like he's still 27, right, in a sense. Yeah. So you keep him there. And then I look at a guy like Bronny where y'all going to do something special they never done before, right? To a son and a father playing together in the NBA.
Very cool.
Right? Now, one thing is winning championships. We all want to do that, right, especially Lakers. But they want to make money too, though. Mm-hmm. You can sell that. Yeah. It's LeBron James and then his son there. So I just love the whole narrative of, like, fathers being relevant in their kids' lives, right? LeBron's one of the best role models on the court and off the court, and that's one of them. My biggest thing is, apart from that, is that Bronny's the type of kid who's going to get better, right? He's not going to be LeBron James. I think when we look at him, we want to see LeBron. No, he's not going to see that.
Right.
You're going to see a very intelligent, smart player. He gets that from his father.
Already is.
Way more advanced than a lot of these young players that just come from college, just have potential. That hadn't done a lot of things in college, but they had potential and they draft him. He's 7 foot. He can do this, can do that. And they draft him on potential. Well, this guy has IQ. He's going to play good defense. And I think he's a player. He can be a role player. He can shoot the three ball. Like, all these things that you need to be a solid player in the NBA, he has. So if you ask me, I would take him for all them different reasons. And it's LeBron James, your best player. Make him happy.
My question is, Joy, would it matter to you if you were being drafted or you were signing as a free agent? Does it really matter? I mean, would you want the pomp and circumstance?
I think it matters to me. It matters to me.
Yeah.
Like, listen, we know that that Bronny is going to be on the Lakers because of LeBron James. We don't all have to.
One way or the other.
You know, we don't have to go back and forth about that. Now, perhaps if he stayed in college another year, he would be drafted to a team on his own accord after developing in college for another year. Maybe he goes and plays somewhere else, plays internationally, and eventually gets in the league. Who knows? But whatever. Who cares? That's not what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to play with his father, and his father wants to play with him. So we know that he is going to be on the Lakers because of LeBron James, his father. Yeah. So there's no point in us going back and forth about that. But I still think I would like the experience of being drafted. I do think it is different than just being signed. Now, maybe it's semantics, but
yeah.
I mean, we just got done with the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I was drafted. I don't know that it matters much. But I'm also with Shady. However you get him there, you get him there. I think it's probably more for Lakers fans saying, you know, is this making us better? Are we using this draft pick on this player because he's making us better or because of LeBron James? And I can see that side of it, too. Look, at the end of the day, do you think that this draft pick that you're going to use on Bronny is going to be used on a player that is going to contribute right away, that is going to be the difference between you and a championship, the difference between you and making it to the second round over the Nuggets? I think you need more than that.
But another thing is this. Slick. It's a second-round draft pick in basketball. Like, that's not the end of the world.
It's not I would say, look, there's some great – Nikola Jokic was a second-round pick.
I can name you a lot, and
we could sit here and name way more players that didn't do anything in the second round.
Also true. And this is a particularly disappointing draft. So you get to the second round, you're probably you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
So I get that. I just – If Bronny doesn't care, if LeBron doesn't care, I would rather let's sign him as an unrestricted free agent and use that second round pick to take a flyer on another guy. I mean, it gives you another bullet in the chamber to say we can try to get another good player.
What type of bullet, though?
It's
better than none. I think I would agree with Slick in that
it doesn't. That's a pocket knife, Joy. Are you ticklish?
Don't start with me, Shady. Don't.
But, like, that's a pocket knife. You're talking about, I need some big bullets.
See, now I have anxiety for the rest of the show.
Yeah. You're going to have to.
I lost my train of thought.
Change chairs, yeah.
If they don't care, if LeBron, and if it's nothing to LeBron to clutch and to Bronny to be signed as an unrestricted free agent, then I would say go for it. If do it that way and then draft a player in the second round. Coming up, the Bears roster.
I'm even moving back and I don't even know why.
scared.
Has gotten an upgrade, including drafting Caleb Williams. So where do they stack up in the NFC North? That's next on Speak.
Acho's watching going, what the
hell? What's going on?
I text Acho about Dave.
The Bears have had a number of headline-making moves this offseason, highlighted by drafting Caleb Williams number one overall. And expectations are very, very, very high in Chicago. But remember, the Lions are still the defending champs in the NFC North. So, Carmen, you know this division very, very, very well.
I do. She's dramatic, isn't she?
She's gotten very dramatic lately.
Very dramatic.
Where do the Bears stack up in the NFC North?
We need to stop putting the cart in front of the horse here with the Chicago Bears. Ooh. I'm not comfortable putting them ahead of a team that was a half away from the Super Bowl in the Detroit Lions, or the youngest team in the league that made it to the divisional round in the Green Bay Packers. I can't in good faith do that because the Bears have never shown me they can. Not to mention, a rookie quarterback has only won his division 8 times in the history of the league. It's only happened 3 times in the last 18 years. One of the guys that actually did it, though, was Kyle Orton in Chicago, which is hilarious.
Legend.
But that was a defensive effort by the Bears, by Chicago. I don't want us to put these expectations on Caleb Williams, on Roma Dunze, on the new additions, on the Chicago Bears team that has so much new as a part of it. Why can't we just get to a winning record? Why can't we just lay the foundation? Because if you don't do this right, you're going to undo everything Ryan Poles just did over the last 3 years.
Now, Carmen, they did not like when I said this the other day.
Well, they're not going to like it when I say it either, but I'm sorry.
Hey, that was good.
I agree. I agree.
Sorry, not sorry.
They're third in the division right now until we start playing games. I also cannot disregard what the Packers did. Because we keep saying, like, oh, the Packers won. The Packers went to Dallas and beat a team, not just beat.
Smacked them around.
Smacked around a team with eight all pros.
Nine all pros.
As the youngest team in the league.
On the road.
That was a fun day.
How many home games in a row had Dallas won up until that point?
16.
Yeah.
That's not a small feat. It's not just that they fluked into a playoff win. They took that playoff win.
They sure did.
Very aggressively. And then you have the Lions, who have been building year after year after year, progressively getting better. So, look, there's new teams in the playoffs every single year. There will be teams that make it to the playoffs this year that we did not expect.
Absolutely.
Why can't it be the Bears? I think the Bears completely have the potential to do it. They have the roster to do it.
Uh-huh.
I think that they are trending in the direction to potentially break through and make the playoffs.
1,000%.
That said, what I expect them to do and what they can do are two different things. Words are important. Expecting something means that if you don't accomplish it, then in some ways you failed.
Right.
And I don't think that a rookie quarterback in a new situation with a ton of pressure, with having to establish the identity of this team, with the expectations of a generational player, should be expected to do that, because if you don't accomplish it, then comes negativity that is unnecessary. Could they do it? Absolutely.
Yes.
The expectations and the potential are two different things.
Flirt with playoff contention a little bit.
Isn't it
fine?
Isn't it crazy? And isn't it a testament to how much Chicago loves football and loves the Bears and how starved they are for success that this could be met with pushback? Like, Bears fans are like, oh, what do you mean we're not going to win the division? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do I mean? No, I think, look, I'm so excited about the Bears. I think they have all the potential in the world to be a wild card team. Like, that is the high end of what I don't even want to say expect. That's what I hope for them. I hope for them to be in the mix for the 5, 6, 7 seed. But I just happen to think there's levels to this. And if we can, it's a good moment for synergy, because today on FoxSports.com, I did my post-draft power rankings
to reassess how things stand.
Promo, a little promo. Like,
and the issue with the Bears is, remember, it was just a year ago that we were like, oh, the NFC North is up for grabs. It's anybody's division.
Sure.
It looks like one of the toughest in football now with all of the new information we have. Is Jordan Love going to be good? Hell yeah, he's going to be good. Can the Lions take the next step? They absolutely did. And so as we sit right here, I see the Lions as a top 5 team in the entire NFL.
Heck yeah.
I think they are on the short list of Super Bowl contenders. I think the Packers are right on their heels. If we can assume that all of those young guys are going to continue to ascend.
Yeah.
If that's the beginning for Jordan Love, then there's no telling. And so it's not that the Bears are a bad team. I just think they're a couple steps away. And I think that's fine, Bears
fans. It's fine.
It's fine to think of the Bears as a potential wild card team, and we see where it goes from there.
Bears fans should think they're ready to win the Super Bowl. I get
they
it.
Do.
I know. And I get it. Like, you should be excited. You should receive any kind of reasonable expectations as criticism and hate, because you should be full of jubilant happiness and positivity about the situation that you're in. But we don't have to do that.
So I don't understand where their expectations come from either, though, because do you know the Bears' rookie quarterback records?
Well, okay, so, but this is Caleb Williams. So where I do think that it's different, and honestly, C.J. Stroud kind of ruined things for everyone. Because let's be serious. C.J. Stroud, if what had happened last year, if what had happened last year with the Texans and C.J. Stroud did not happen, I do not think that we would even be entertaining the conversation of the Bears taking a step into competing for the division, being contenders to make it far in the playoffs. We wouldn't even be talking about that. C.J. Stroud, the Texans, ruined it for everyone. He had an incredible outlier season, which also required, and this is not taking away from what they did, because they worked hard and won the games they needed to be in to win, to be in the position to take the division, but it required a collapse from the Jacksonville Jaguars for them to be in that position to do that. Shady, where do you think the Bears stack up?
I would say third in that division, right? That's a good division, right? I mean, you guys have talked about the whole thing with the Detroit Lions and the Packers, so I won't go into that. But let's just talk about just the Bears. I'm going to talk about just them for a second. So, yes, you are getting a generational talent and potential with Caleb Williams. But what year is that? I never judge rookies because I know how hard it is to be a rookie, right? And let alone be the quarterback. C.J. Stroud had a phenomenal year. But I don't think every quarterback's going to have that type of
rookie year. Yeah,
it's hard to do.
Not the rule.
So you got a rookie quarterback who's going to be your leader. So your leader's a rookie, right? You get a new running back who's a hell of a player, but he's a new running back, right? You get a new wide receiver. Keelan Allen's a hell of a player, but
new wide receivers now.
He's a new player on the team. Yep. And then you just drafted a rookie. Mm-hmm. So all these players are all new. And then DJ Moore, who's phenomenal, he's actually new to the quarterback. So now I got to figure out all these different players with what pass they like best on third down, who I'm going to, because every quarterback has that. He knows. I don't care if you have Antonio Brown or freaking whoever you have in wide receiver, Calvin Johnson. There's certain plays that, yo, I'm going to the other guy because the court, that's how they're designed. Mm-hmm. That's one part. You have a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You have a new defense coordinator. All these things that's happening with this team. So to say that, yo, with the draft picks and this and that new additions to the team, you're just going to win the division, it don't work like that. Now, maybe on paper. Now, if you ask me a different question, is how you feel about the Bears the next couple of years. And that's a different conversation. Yeah, I think they're going to be phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So if you ask me, I would say third because the Detroit Lions are making something big over there. You see it.
Yeah.
Last year, I mean, they should be in the Super Bowl. I'll just go to that. And then the Packers, that young team, they're going to get better.
Yeah.
Jordan Love is going to get better. So I'm just going to go third for the Bears.
And look, that still might be a playoff team. Depending on how things break down. I expect them to be contenders this year for a wild card position. I do not expect them to win the division. And listen, if they end up winning the division and they end up going to the Super Bowl,
amazing.
And it'll be amazing, and we will all be wrong, and so what?
I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than wholeheartedly disappointed.
But it's not none of this is hope. Like, I'm very excited. We're all very excited to see what Caleb Williams and the Bears do, and we all think that Ryan Poles has done a tremendous job in putting Caleb Williams
Absolutely.
In one of the best positions that we've seen a rookie go into in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I just reserve the right to give them some grace. I actually think we're all being like very nice.
Yes,
because what we could be coming out here and saying is because of what C.J. Stroud did, we expect you to do better. Because C.J. Stroud was the second overall pick in the draft last year, had a lot of questions about what he was capable of. Mm-hmm. He had a rookie head coach, was going to a roster that we did not think was a roster that we would hold up to any other roster in the league, and he went and won a playoff game. So what we should really be saying, if we were really being tough, is saying you should do better than that.
That's
because
true.
Caleb Williams was a generational player. They were not the worst team in the league last year. In fact, they got this pick in Caleb Williams because somebody else was kind enough to be the worst team in the NFL.
And that division is tough. Where I feel like
the AFC South wasn't tough.
At all.
So really, I think where we are doing is very gracious.
I think so, too.
Not to pat ourselves on the back
Bears corner.
I don't want to put as much pressure on Caleb Williams. Why is that so wrong? Like, why?
Because Caleb is great, and we expect greatness from greats.
Right,
and I think that Caleb is going to have a great career.
I don't need
the Bears to make the jump to being in the NFC Championship game this year for me to feel that they're going to be great, which I think that they will be. So we're all on the same page. Look, see? You agree with Dave.
So there's harmony.
Coming up, it's hard to imagine this, but KD, Steph, and LeBron all out of the playoffs. But is this actually good for the NBA? That's next on Speak.
We're tied at 99. Nuggets, 12 seconds remaining.
I love it. Murray makes a move.
Let's just fly!
Yeah! Game's over.
The Nuggets have won!
They are bobbing Murray. Difference of 2 seconds for game clock and the shot clock.
Nuggets win. They go on to face Minnesota. Murray around the corner.
Stops, shoots, scores!
Zeroes on the clock.
It's over! It's over! The Nuggets, they have taken down the Lakers! And Ball Arena is going ballistic!
Whew. Sorry, Lakers fans, if you had to rewatch that. Jamal Murray and the Nuggets eliminated LeBron James and the Lakers. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are also out of the title picture. So the NBA playoffs will not have one of the three superstars in the second round for the first time since 2005. I was a sophomore in college, so you know that was a long time ago. Rick, is this good for the NBA?
Thank you for not asking what I was doing in 2005. Appreciate that.
You're in college too.
No, it's not good. Leagues go through these transitions. You know, you have to find new faces. But it would be more beneficial for the NBA at this point if it was happening later, and if at least one of those faces, one of those familiar faces that draws a mainstream audience, was still around. Because we always like to see the succession. We like to see the king being knocked off by the heir presumptive or the heir apparent. Mm-hmm. And we're really not going to see that right now. And so, what's the draw? For basketball fans, for us, I think it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens between the up-and-coming Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets and whether they can retain that and what the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to show in the next round. But for the mainstream audience, they're like, wait a minute. LeBron's not there. Steph, the Splash Brothers are not there. Easy Money Snipers not there. Like, who are we watching? They don't have necessarily a specific reason to tune in, and that's why I believe that it's not ideal for the NBA to have all those established faces and names already out.
Yeah, it's like we are we're the people that read the book. And the mainstream audience is getting to the movie theater for the first time and trying to figure out who all these characters are.
Yes.
It's the pilot that has a lot of setup in it. Okay, I need all the background on all of these new players and faces. And they're from House what? Okay, I got to keep up.
Right, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's where we are right now. This is the setup for the next chapter of the NBA. And mainstream audience doesn't necessarily know who all of the characters are. And in a lot of ways, we are learning these characters as well and how they're going to excel in these situations that they haven't necessarily been in before. How are they going to step up against the current champs? I think it's going to be tremendous basketball. We're going to watch some really, really great and interesting matchups, and I'm hoping for some really long series.
Yep.
But I have to agree with you. I think that there is something to the passing of the baton. There's something to knocking off the greats. There's something to feeling like, okay, this is the team that has now arrived.
Yeah.
And we know the team that has arrived in the Nuggets, and they are still alive. But we don't know intimately these younger teams yet and what they are going to step into and what it's going to look like. So as far as the, I want to call it the mainstream audience, I will call it the casual NBA fan that tunes in during the playoffs, that's here to check in on who the superstars are. That might be a little bit difficult to not see who it is that is knocking off a LeBron, a KD, or a Steph, because they're so used to seeing them for almost 20 years now.
And I don't get the sense that Nikola Jokic, who you could technically say did that last year.
Correct.
Knocked off LeBron, right? Took the throne. That the casual NBA fan or mainstream America, whichever you want to use, has fully embraced Nikola Jokic as that guy. And we're seeing him in commercials. I think he has a subtle, entertaining personality to go with the game. We consider him the best player in the game right now.
Absolutely.
But he's not carrying that water. For whatever reason, he is not
the face you're saying,
magnetizing the audience the way that LeBron, Steph. He's not capturing their imagination.
Well, I think his play certainly is, but I think any superstar is naturally polarizing in personality.
And he's not.
But are you saying like the face of the league? Is that what you're trying to get?
Yeah, I'm saying that with these guys gone, who's the face of the league? Who's the face of the league in the NBA playoffs right now? Mm. And the fact that we can't immediately point to somebody or even have a debate suggests that there's a vacuum.
Shay, do you think that it's good for the NBA that they're out of the playoffs right now?
I'm torn about this, man, because like basketball is a sport where like you recognize the names, you recognize the face, right? The teams, the Lakers, Celtics, like that was a thing, you know. And now you look at it, it's like, okay, LeBron. It'd have been better if LeBron James played, I don't know, the Timberwolves, right? Or let's just say Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's use that one. That's a better one. So if Ant-Man and Kevin Durant played, right? Kevin played and he knocked them off. That was better because now it's like it's in a Western Conference Finals type of game. Mm-hmm. But you beat him in the first round. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So now when we go on, it's like so SGA still there, right? Jokic is still there. Ant-Man's still there, but it ain't the same effect.
They're all unproven guys,
and they're superstars.
Well, not yet,
and I think that they will be like the faces of the NBA and all that. But right now, you think of a Kevin Durant's not there, LeBron James, Steph Curry, they're nowhere to be found. Mm. It just takes the game is just like they're going to lose some viewerships. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that. Like a lot of people don't want to watch these games. LeBron's not playing. Check. KD's not playing. Check. Steph Curry. So I would say I would love for it to be passed. The torch would be passed if it was like the Western Conference Finals type of game, right, against Kevin.
So you just don't like that it happened in the first round?
Yeah, because who's on watching now?
Yeah.
My son is 12 years old, right? Now, he don't know a lot about Ant-Man. He know who he is, but he don't know a lot about him, right? SGA, he know who he is, but he don't really know who he is. If I ask that boy, hey, man, about LeBron James, he can tell you everything about him. Right. Steph Curry, he started doing the shot.
Right.
Before I even finish his name.
Yeah.
Right? KD, that's his favorite player. We went to the game, I made KD some stuff for him, talked to him a little bit. So my thing is, I'm going to give you one part of it, a 12-year-old, right? The 15-year-old, the guy in teenager, the guy going to, like, all them people they talk about, even Jamal Murray talked about how, yo, when I was a kid, LeBron was, like, my favorite, right? And not saying that hero, like, there's stars right now, but the real heroes is KD's, the Steph's, LeBron.
Well, we have marquee brands in the East that are moving on into the second round. We're looking like they're moving on into the second round.
So are we talking New York?
There is that. I'm not predicting everything. Oh. Yeah, I'm just saying there are still some big brands alive. But I think this is the opportunity though for the next chapter of the NBA to step out and establish themselves.
Yeah.
Like
those
guys weren't always who they are. They had to go out there and win it and win the hearts of NBA fans. And we're getting to see the next chapter of these players being able to do that. So that's really exciting because I do think we have some unbelievable young players in the league.
Yeah.
With great big personalities. So this is their opportunity. So I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of LeBron's Lakers, after another disappointing finish in his head coach's job is reportedly in jeopardy. But is Darvin Ham taking too much heat? That's next on Speed.
They got Ham losing hair. Well, I guess he didn't.
Yeah.
Lakers are done, eliminated from the playoffs last night by Denver after back-to-back early exits. Many fingers are pointing at head coach Darvin Ham, and reportedly his job is, quote, in serious jeopardy. Shady, Darvin Ham getting too much blame for the Lakers' loss.
What is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, because off the record, y'all are saying that. You need water to brush your teeth. And I said, no, you don't.
You do need water to brush
your teeth. No, you don't. Look, you see the smile? Look at these teeth. These are my real teeth now.
Shady doesn't think you need water. He doesn't use water.
All
to brush
toothpaste and no water.
The brush, no water. Totally dry.
Anyway, what's the question? Now the world see my teeth.
Is Darvin Ham getting too much blame?
Yes, he is.
So loose on this show.
We blame him for everything, and I hate it. I want to give Ham some love, though, right? When I look at the series where he had good game plans defensive-wise, right, we see the Jamal Murray game-winning shots. We've seen two of them, right? But before them shots, what was he doing? Mm-hmm. He had a great plan against him. He was locked up for a lot of them games, right? Mm-hmm. Fourth quarter, it's hard to stop a superstar player. Eventually, he's going to get off. Jokic, if you don't watch the games, you look at his stat lines, he's going to show you triple-doubles and this and that and third. But if you really watch the game,
he struggled.
Anthony Davis played him very, very well. The game plan they had worked. Fourth quarter, Jokic showed up because he's just a great player. That's what he does. I look at offensively. I don't know. I forget what game it was when they started going to it where the pick and roll with D'Lo and AD, having LeBron on the baseline, right, as he drives, backdoor alley-hoop cuts the whole game, right? And it made Mike Malone have to adjust for that.
Game three.
There was different things I seen from Coach Ham that I was excited to see. But this is the problem that I hate with people, right, blaming him for everything. Well, dang. I mean, he ain't out there shooting no balls. He ain't out there making no passes. He ain't out there making no defensive stops. He's just putting you in position to make these plays, and they've been doing it. My thing is, when you put Hakimura on the baseline, open jump shots, right? You got to make them. You got to make them. D'Lo, the games he had, right? Majority of the time he played well, but there's some games where he didn't even show up.
Yeah.
Actually, like, put a jersey on and come out there, he had 0 points. That you can't put that on Ham. Austin Reeves. I mean, they pay him to be the third scorer. Majority of the time he wasn't there. So as much as you want to blame Ham, you got to look at the situation. I think he put his team in a position to win games. He had some good game plans that the Nuggets, eventually, if you don't capitalize on that, they're going to win. Last thing is, if you look at the time of possession of the leads, the Lakers were leading this series majority of the time. 60 to 70% of the time, they were winning, right, by big numbers. And if you're making stops, but you can't score, and eventually they're going to score, and that's what happened. And so many times I've seen the Lakers go 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes without scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long can you keep the Nuggets from scoring, from not scoring? Eventually, they're going to get it wrong like they did. So I look at Ham, he did some good jobs, I thought, in game plan. But at the end of the day, we got to go to the players. I need AD to finish these games out in the fourth quarter.
When we say the Lakers loss, if we're talking just about game five and closing out, I have one issue, and that's that he challenged the foul.
That was bad, yeah.
Anthony Davis fouling Nikola Jokic.
3 minutes left.
3 minutes and 4 seconds left.
Yeah.
Because it meant that he was now expending his last timeout. Regardless of whether they won the challenge or not, it was going to take their last timeout. And I'm thinking, the score is tied. You're preserving, you're saving yourself from sending Jokic to the line for two free throws. That at best puts them up to, your offense is rolling, and now you don't have a timeout, and you're anticipating that this game's going to go down to the wire, and you don't have a timeout. And as it turned out, Jamal Murray hits the shot to go up two, there's 3.4 seconds left, and they don't have a timeout, so all they can do is rush it in and throw up a desperation shot. If you have a timeout, you're calling timeout, you can run a play, you can advance it to the front court.
Like,
you give yourself a chance at least to force overtime, if not win the game with a three. So that's where I say he made a mistake. But this is my issue in general, because it's such a weak move that anytime a team doesn't accomplish what we projected to accomplish, we immediately, the coach screwed up. And we do the exact opposite. When a team is better than we expect it to be,
the coach doesn't,
we immediately go, the coach was good. The coach, coach of the year. Mark Daigneault with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, he wins coach of the year. That's a really talented team.
Right.
Like, I expected them, I didn't know they were going to vie for first in the Western Conference, but I knew that they were going to be way better. And so I think it's just, it's a fallback to position of, we credit the coach when we don't completely understand why what happened happened. But when I look at the Lakers, let's face it, you've got at best two-way players in Anthony Davis and LeBron James, which means the rest of the time, I, as the coach, have to be constantly moving my rotation back and forth between my offensive player and my defensive player. And I can't call timeout or substitute every change of possession, so I'm always at a disadvantage. And the fact that you still made the playoffs, you still took a game off the defending champs, you still were better than you were a year ago.
And had leads. You still had leads.
You led 70% of the time, and you were relying on a 39-year-old LeBron James to beat Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in a single-possession game. Like,
I just can't look.
Was Darvin perfect? No.
But
I can't put this at his feet.
And I can't either. Another thing is, like, if we look at Anthony Davis, this himself, he had a combined 16 points in 5 games in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
And it's not because you're not running plays
for him. Oh, yeah. Man. I mean, at the end of the day, if the roster is the question, then it's
14 shots.
Yeah, how much are you going
to
put it on
the coach? It can't be the coach. Like, these are the ingredients you gave me to cook with.
14 shots in five games.
Coming up, Andy Reid.
Oh, Andy's going.
Compared his new wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, to a player that Shady knows very well.
Oh, let's see who this
we
is.
We have to see what he said next. Let's speak.
Wow. Player good?
The Chiefs drafted wide receiver Xavier Worthy in the first round, and Andy Reid compared the speedster's body type to former Eagles star DeSean Jackson. Shady, what do you think of Andy Reid's comparison?
I like it. I like it for Patrick Mahomes if he's doing that. We're going to talk about this on a 2010 show on the podcast because I didn't know what's really going on with 2010. You know what I'm saying?
You think DeSean's going to agree?
I don't know. DeSean, he's full of himself, so he might not. But if the kick and play, DeSean will give him his love. We got to find out.
Has anyone ever...
Something about Andy Reid and comparing body types. What are we doing here? Is this a beauty pageant?
Oh, no. Listen. DeSean was an all-timer, so Mahomes has a new DeSean Jackson out there. He's in
Andy Reid knows
good position.
Yes, he does.
And the Bills helped him get there.
Thanks, Bills.